there it was. Right, let it go. Forget about that. So, but that's the important point to recall. Yeah.
Is the seed really still the seed?
No, it's becoming something greater. In order to become a sapling, the seed has to die. Right? And that's how we live. We live through death. Death is just another stage. A seed to become a sapling has to die as a seed to become a tree. A sapling has to die as a sapling to become a tree. Right? So death is just part of this journey of life. Right? Moving to the next level. Okay? But this second bracha is telling us that and part of his all-powerfulness is he does deliver and he can deliver and nothing will stop the delivery, even that which seems hopeless like death. But just know that even death is part of a journey towards the salvation that is on.
Also, isn't Mechame Tikkun referring to, like, there's, like, a principle in Judaism that we have to believe that Hashem will, like...
Yes, but why is that so... Why would the first prophet believe that Hashem is Mechame Tikkun? Because Mechame Tikkun tells me that nothing is hopeless. That even situations that look like they can never be turned back. There's nothing more final than death, right? Until death, there's always a little hope, a little hope. Death, that's it, done. Yiddish guy said, but it's not done. Death is not the end in our tradition. Right? There's no such, Rav Kook has an article where he explains that death is an illusion. Don't die. The neshama leaves the body, but it's not there. And I'm telling you, I saw this when I was by my mother's side. She did not die. She gave birth. I literally experienced herself literally birthing her soul. Right? And so, there's no such thing as death, right? So, Mechayim Eitim Rachamim Rabim, we have to understand, but this is saying more than that. Because we believe that we're coming back to this world. Judaism believes in this world, right? So, a person's about to daven, and they say, you know what? I'm davening for success in this world. This world doesn't matter. What matters is the next world. That's so not Jewish, right? In fact, there's no mention of the next world in the entire five books of Moshe. Why not? Right? Olam Haba is part of Torah Shebaal Peh, but if it's going to be in Torah Shebichtav, no, because it's not an important principle, right? You need to know that you've come to this world, and this world is not a bad place, it's just we need to know how to handle it properly, but we love our bodies, we are not antibodies, okay? We are not antibodies, we love our bodies, we're coming back to our bodies, right? And so a person could be davening for this, that, and the other, saying, if I really believe in God, I should forget about this world and my physical needs, because it doesn't matter. That's not true. In Judaism, that is one of the deep distinctions between Judaism and certain other traditions, yeah, that we will leave nameless, okay? And we are not against this world. We see this world, yes, this world is a prose door, right, to the next world. What's a prose door? A lobby. To the next world, which is a palace. Yeah? Well, have you ever been in a palace? What does the lobby look like? It's the most significant part of the palace. Right? It's the most beautiful part of the palace. It's not like, you know, to get into the palace, there's some shabby, you know, broken down little hallway that you got to get through to get to the palace. Right, it's too bad that's how you get to the palace. But that's how people read that Mishnah. They think it's... But it's to get. You got to go through this lobby to get to the palace. Yeah, but in palaces, the lobby is the most significant, most magnificent part of the... Yes, you got to get them to the rest of the palace. But it wasn't meant to be a put-down to this world at all. It was actually meant to be a real compliment to the value of this world and its relationship.
So how do you explain God's description of the world in Torah Shebaal
Peh? We believe there's an Olam Haba. The question is, why is it not mentioned in Torah Shebichtav? Because it shouldn't be the thing that is motivating you in life. What does it say in the Shema? And if you do the mitzvahs, there'll be rain in its time. Huh. Doesn't sound so great. Okay. and your cows will eat, huh? So let them put on tefillin. Why am I doing these mitzvahs for my cows? It's basically saying that if you live mitzvahs, then the natural world will flow naturally, right? Then the world will reflect your natural connection to Hashem. But it doesn't promise this, like, you know, not in the five books of Moses. And one of the attitudes is, so it reminds us that we don't do mitzvahs to get to the next world. We do mitzvahs to bring more holiness into this world. Right? Because we're not against this world. Okay? So we have to understand, Mechaye Mitim Rachamim Rabin, why is doesn't matter. Spiritual. But Jesus didn't know the physical is so important, the spiritual is going to come back. Alright. We'll cover more a little ground. You can ask me some more questions in a second. Attack. You are holy, and your name is holy. And holy ones. To know